Copyright 1973 by Sonia Moore.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the 8th lecture demonstration of the new series on the Stanislavski system, presented by the American Center for Stanislavski Theater Art. With these lectures, we have been striving to emphasize the need for all our theater workers, professional and amateur, to master the Stanislavski system. This only existing, concretely systematized acting technique must be taught and mastered in order to build an artistic theater in the United States. In contrast to the usual guesswork among theater workers, Stanislavski offers us a system in which his every discovery has been experimented with as in a laboratory, and his every deduction has been proven to be correct by major scientists. We must begin to take full advantage of Stanislavski's most important and complete discoveries and his final deductions. Through continuous research of works by Russian theater experts who have made the Stanislavski system more concrete and who have enriched it with their many years' personal experience, we, at the American Center, now have the knowledge of Stanislavski's final deductions. At our last lecture, we discussed the method of physical actions. Some notion about it begins to spread through our theater. It seems, however, that some actors think that the method of physical actions means that any physical action, even if it is only touching an object on stage, will make them natural. Actors must be warned against this. There were important men in the theater who thought that the movement of an actor's highly trained body will stir his emotions. As we discussed it in a previous lecture, Mayrholt was disappointed in his biomechanics, which did not achieve what he expected. The Stanislavski system rendered impotent the system of expressive movement by Delsarte. Delsarte suggested expressing emotions with prescribed gestures. But human action depends on numerous factors, such as specific traits of an individual, the tempo rhythm in which the actor acts at a given moment, and other circumstances. Stanislavski has proven that only a purposeful action, expressive of the inner state, will involve the actor's emotions, will be rich with content and always fresh. The training of the actor's body is of vital importance because it makes the body sensitive and capable of expressing subtle inner experiences. But actors and teachers of body movement must accept the fact that a mechanical movement prescribed beforehand will not bring forth an emotion on stage and therefore will not make the actor natural. Only physical actions that are right and typical for the expression of the inner world of a given character will achieve the involvement of the actor's psychophysical apparatus when he is natural. Unnecessary actions by a self-indulgent actor will not make him natural. He will play naturalness and only take the audience's attention from what is essential on stage. Besides, to think that the goal of the system is to make the actor simply feel natural is a sad oversimplification of the Stanislavski system. Its goal is much richer and on a higher level. The goal of the system is to bring the actor to the birth of a naturally functioning artistic character. Since the actor, unlike artists in other fields, in addition to being the creator of his work, is his own material and his own instrument for his creations, the actor himself must function on stage as he does in life, but in the character's circumstances. Otherwise, theater loses its meaning. The actor will not contribute to the projection of the play if he exists on stage only as himself, not even if he is a star and a box office attraction. With his own organic resources, the actor must build always different characters, because there are no two human beings that are identical. The actor as Hamlet today, as Constantine in The Seagull tomorrow, as Nick in Who is Afraid of Virginia Woolf the next night. This is what actors must be able to achieve, or there is no theater. It is what we think and what we do that makes us in life what we are. And the audience will judge the character's individuality by what he thinks and what he does. To build the spiritual inner world of a new human being is a serious task and responsibility. The actor cannot go on stage expecting that his intuition will tell him how to behave in the character's circumstances. This is naive and dilettantish. Intuition plays an important role in any art and in science, but a solid educational background is necessary to make the actor's intuition work the way it should. The existence of the character on stage in a play is only a small part of the character's whole life, of what happened to him before the play begins and of what happens to him after the play ends. Nemirovich Danchenko, the great Russian director and teacher, calls this whole life on which the existence of the character depends during the time he is on stage, the second plan. The second plan cannot be played, but this whole life that is not seen by the audience must be reflected by the actor during the 2.5 hours when he is on stage. If the actor has studied the second plan, which includes all the character's thoughts, experiences, and emotions, he will then be able to understand the play and to make all his actions and words clear. After the actor has thoroughly studied the second plan, knows what kind of an individual he must create, and understands the dependence of the character on the whole world of the play, then the actor knows what he, as the character, must contribute to the projection of the play. The actor can then begin to create the typical psychological and physical behavior of the character on stage. There is no place for anything superfluous on stage in the artistic theater. Everything the actor does or thinks must be typical and expressive of the character he creates and of the circumstances. Anything that is not essential must be discarded, no matter how much the actor is tempted to prolong his presence on stage or attract the audience's attention to himself. Anything that is superfluous distorts the character and the play's meaning. The actor must study and choose the psychological and physical behavior that is typical for the character in the given circumstances. After the actor has thoroughly studied the second plan, or the whole life of the character before the play begins and after it ends, he will know what is right and what is wrong for building the character. The body of the character must be given as thorough attention as the spiritual life. The body must harmonize with the inner content. The actor must, in an entirely conscious way, find the physical side of the action. It is a gross mistake to think that the physical expression will just happen to the actor on stage. A true master of the theater works hard and builds the character's psychological and physical life consciously. Only after having built this life in a conscious way, made the actor expect things to happen to him on stage. This is what we are striving for. Subconscious creativity is the goal of the Stanislavski School of Acting. But even the greatest geniuses could not expect inspiration every time they were on stage. These great actors realized that every inner and physical move must be thoroughly studied. With the help of the Stanislavski system, the actor prepares the best ground for possible inspiration when his intuition works and he creates subconsciously. Hard work is the road to inspiration, and not vice versa. No actor may do on stage anything accidental, whether psychological or physical. No actor can do anything because he feels like doing it. Such behavior is self-indulgence and distortion of theater art. And now, more about the inner monologue. In literature, we encounter a great deal of description of the hero's thoughts. But in a play, the dramatist rarely tells us what the characters think. While working on my research of Stanislavski's teachings, I studied a book by Maria Knebel, a Russian director and the head of the State Institute of Theater Arts in Moscow. Mrs. Knebel, who was a close disciple of Stanislavski and Nemirovich Danchenko, speaks of inner monologue and as an example of the process which takes place in the human mind, she cites a short story by Anton Chekhov. I would like to tell it to you. The story is entitled, "He Quarreled with His Wife." A husband did not like the supper, and he said so to his wife. The wife started to cry. The husband became angry, left the dining room, and went to his study. There, he threw himself on the couch and buried his face in the cushion. "The devil take it. The devil made me marry. Hardly a month has gone by, and I'm ready to shoot myself." Not yet cooled off from the quarrel, the husband hears some slight movement behind the door, and this irritates him even more. "Yeah, that's just fine. Insulting me, and now she wants to make up." The husband is unshakable. Now he hears the door open and timid steps moving towards the couch. "Okay, beg forgiveness, beg, sob, to hell with it. You won't hear a single word from me, not a single word, even if you die. I'm asleep and I don't care to talk, and that's that." The husband makes himself comfortable on his couch and falls asleep. After a while, he feels a warm body close to him. He moves away, but pity has begun invading his heart. "Yeah, now we're crawling, clinging, begging, and soon we will start kissing and going to our knees. I can't stand it." Yet she should be forgiven. In her present state, it's bad to worry. "I'll just torment her for an hour or so, I'll punish her, and then I'll forgive her." Now he hears a deep sigh, another sigh, and another sigh. A small hand touches his shoulder. "Well, God be with her. I'll forgive her for the last time. I should stop tormenting her, the poor thing. After all, it's all my own fault. Started a riot for nothing." So far, Chekhov describes only the thoughts in the offended husband's mind. Finally, completely moved by the timid behavior of his wife, the husband says his first words. "Stop crying, my little darling." He stretches his arm and embraces the warm body. Next to him is his big dog, Dayanka. This is what happens in a human mind in life. we say only a small part of what is in our mind. We think naturally all the time, without any effort. But in order to be capable of using the laws of nature consciously on stage, the actor's mind and his willpower must be developed. To go through this rigorous training and discipline, the actor must really have a strong wish to learn his professional technique. But only those who have such a strong wish to become artists in the theater will become the foundation of good artistic theater. Acting is an artistic profession, and the Stanislavski system is a concrete, rigorous training and self-discipline. Without a strong desire to learn his professional technique, the student will not be able to master it. In our previous lectures, we have demonstrated some of the exercises of the actor's training. We have also demonstrated improvisations in which the future actor learns to become aware of what happens within him and in the world around him, and how to fulfill an action. These improvisations teach the future actor that to be alive on stage, he must behave psychologically and physically simultaneously. In silent improvisations, the student actor learns to think on stage. I hope that it is well understood how important it is to be able to think on stage in the given situation. After a while, we have two or more people on stage. The students learn that there are other people around them and that there must be communion and relationships among them, even without speaking. In the beginning of the actor's training, we are satisfied with the simplest actions, but the actions must gradually become more interesting and artistic. While training the future actor's instrument, these improvisations are also the first step towards work on a role. They prepare the future actor for the artistic and complex process in his work, the choice of actions. From the first steps in the actor's dramatic studies, he must begin to learn the selection of typical logical actions in order to express what has to be projected. This is what the actor's profession is. Only after he has learned the artistic process of selection of actions and has mastered execution of these actions does he become an actor. There is no place on stage for any action which does not contribute to the expression of the situation and the character. The actor must have the courage to discard anything that is superfluous. After some time devoted only to silent improvisations, we proceed to oral improvisations. The student actor begins to learn the verbal physical action. He learns that words are the result of physical movement expressing thoughts and images. Thoughts expressed by the actor's bodies must bring him logically to his words. The verbal action is the most powerful means of involving the actor's emotions and of his influence on the audience. Let me give you an example of a verbal improvisation. The action is to persuade. You must build in your mind the situation, preferably based on an analogous situation in your life. There must be two persons to perform such an improvisation. The situation must be talked over by the two. You must know what you are to each other and where this happens. You may or may not discuss what you are trying to persuade the other of. See in your mind the people involved in the situation and know your attitude toward them. The one of you who is to be persuaded must have a counteraction, which will depend on the other's argument. Think what happened in an analogous situation in your life, or what you would do if such a situation were real. Think of what you would do if you did not want to be persuaded. but be sure not to give in too easily. Otherwise, there will be no conflict. Watch each other. In life, when you try to persuade someone, you are doing it for a reason, and you are watching to see whether your argument has an effect on the other person. Therefore, watch your partner for the result. It is important because this is a step toward ensemble work on stage. This is what you have to do in your roles on stage. And do not speak before your inner monologue, which leads to the words, has been expressed by your body. Make sure of this. It is a fact that our body moves even before a thought materializes in our mind. After the movement of the body, the thought and image become more concrete, and then come the words. It is a difficult thing to do on stage, but it is most important for achieving organic behavior. If you succeed in fulfilling the lifelike action energetically and according to the laws of organic nature, you will involve your whole psychophysical apparatus and your emotions, even in an improvisation. You will achieve the total act in Grotowski's terms. At our next lecture, we shall speak more about building a character. If you have questions, please write to me, Sonia Moore Lectures, care of WNYC-FM, New York, New York, 10007. Thank you for being with us.